Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Steve Ashburner, senior writer for NBA.com, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Steve, how you doing?
Good, Bill. How are you?
We are doing well and excited for this postseason. I know some Bucks fans are, it's almost to the point where your anxiety is getting to you in anticipation of the postseason because you don't want to get anybody banged up anymore in the regular season. How depleted do you think the Bucks are with losing Malcolm Brogdon and Mirotić as key cogs until they at least maybe the first or second round of the postseason?
Yeah, I think that's a legit handicap and something to be concerned about. Brogdon, to me, has been so valuable throughout the season. You know, I'm sure that I'm overstating this, but when I watch the Bucks, it appears to me that there are two or three minutes in almost every game where Brogdon asserts himself and often makes a difference. And, you know, this is when maybe the offense is bogged down, the defense from the opponents has figured something out, and it's almost as if Malcolm puts his head down and attacks the rim, and either he can dish to somebody else nearby, or he finishes. And he'll do that two out of three out of four out of five plays. And to me, it's often a pivotal moment. So I think that that's something that you truly do miss. Never mind, you know, just game planning and having him as a bigger-than-average guard to go against, you know, some of the guys that they face. I think that's big. And we really haven't seen, you know, Mirotić at his best yet for the Bucks, and you figured it was going to take some amount of transition time. So for him to be hurt, you know, that cuts into that. And any learning should have been done in what was left of the regular season. And I got to feel like he'll still be learning, and it'll be more of a sort of a haphazard, random, good game, not so good game type of thing. Partly because, you know, when he does come back, because they haven't had the time together.
The Bucks down the stretch, they kind of stumbled a little bit. They've gotten some wins back-to-back now. How significant is, I mean, the Bucks, you know, they've got a pretty sizable lead when it comes to the East, and you don't want to say they got comfortable or they can just kind of cruise, but how significant a game is tonight with a playoff-bound team facing off against Milwaukee in Milwaukee?
Well, to me, it only really matters as a game where they can reduce their magic number and move toward clinching the number one seed. I mean, if that's taken care of, then whatever games remain, you know, they can tackle them the way they choose. You know, now there are teams that like having to push to game 82 to fight for seeding position and all that because they feel it keeps their edge. You know, if you throttle back, you know, who knows whether you can push when it's time to do so. Now, you know, a 1-versus-8 matchup suggests that you're better off resting and licking your wounds, and you'll be able to defeat that inferior opponent. But, you know, I look at a team like Miami, and if they're the 1-8 matchup for Milwaukee, I don't think they're to be trifled with. They've got a plucky roster. They've got switchable defenders. You've got Dwayne Wade, who'd be highly motivated to have a good showing against the Bucks, and particularly in games in Milwaukee. Well coached. You know, I think you got to be careful. You want to eliminate those teams as quickly as you can. If we've learned one thing over the last 4 years, where it was Golden State and Cleveland in the finals, it's that the path to the finals makes a big, you know, a big difference, and those teams generally have tried to dispatch their early opponents and get themselves as much rest as possible. I remember, you know, writing a story about the Cavaliers during one of those playoff runs where you were not seeing LeBron and his teammates way more than you were seeing them. They would come out, they would win, and then they would disappear for a week between rounds. And, you know, that's kind of what you know, the Bucks should want to do, particularly with the injuries. You know, if you're going to worry about being sharp, worry about being sharp because you're advancing to a new round and you've got a week in between.
So the Bucks, we look at the Bucks as a team that, you know, still needs to get out of that first round. As much as people say Eastern Conference Finals are bust, I still kind of hold my breath like you when you mention a formidable opponent in Miami. Not that I don't think they can't beat Miami, but a little bit handicapped. It does bother me now that they're going into the postseason. Right. Brogdon's injury is significant for people that just say, 6 to 8, no big deal, he's going to be back. That's significant when you're talking about a foot injury of that type. Mirotic, okay, broken thumb, you can kind of get past that a little bit and play with that brace, but Brogdon I'm a little bit worried about, which means Middleton has to step up, Bledsoe has to step up. You got to get a role player now that's going to come in and give you some more significant minutes, correct?
I agree with you. I'm not going to argue with that at all. I mean, you know, there have been games, really the second half of the season, where, you know, Middleton has not looked like the all-star, you know, the status that he was given because of Milwaukee's record. You know, other games, sure, he steps up and he does what he's expected to do as Giannis's number one, you know, sidekick, wingman. But that has to be a consistent thing. There's really no wiggle room in a best of seven series. So I agree with you. And if it's not Middleton, then it falls to Bledsoe most of all. And, you know, that's how you judge a playoff team. It's the last thing the Bucks or their fans should want is for Giannis to have to do too much. I remember the game recently on a Sunday they had in against – it was a Sunday they had on against Philadelphia. And Giannis scored 52, right? He even had to overcome a tweak in his ankle, and that was not enough. So if potential playoff opponents are encouraged by that, where, you know, okay, he can get his, we're going to shut down all their other options, that's a kind of a foreboding formula for the Bucks to face.
Now you look at the rest of the teams in the East, and we've been kind of paying attention, obviously, to Toronto. Philadelphia seems to be a team, even though they've lost two in a row now, they've been a team that seemingly, once they picked up Jimmy Butler and they got Tobias Harris, they match up well against the Bucks. Is that the threat right now coming out of the East, in your opinion, to the Milwaukee Bucks?
Well, I mean, there's four good and talented rivals. Indiana without Victor Oladipo, I think, is a notch down from what they might have been. So even if you say there are three other finalist contenders from the East, which is what I would contend, I would probably rank Philadelphia at the top because, first of all, they've only had their preferred starting lineup for a short amount of time. I would say a dozen games or fewer because of injuries, because of when they got Tobias Harris. And we can be critical of their bench, but that becomes less of a factor in the playoffs. And so a shorter rotation, and if Brett Brown decides he's going to always have, you know, two of his starters on the floor, he can finagle things so that they don't feel the pinch of a lesser bench. You know, so I think the Sixers are the biggest threat to Milwaukee to make it to the finals. Now, Boston was my pick going into the season, and for at least, I don't know, the first 4 months, but they have been repeating bad habits, and they have not been able to flip a switch when they had every sign to, you know, and sustain it for more than a game or so. And so I start to think, well, you know, never mind what we thought Boston was last spring. What we're seeing in Boston right now, you know, is a concern. And they remind myself and some colleagues of the old 1970s Boston Red Sox, where the famous line about them was 25 players, 25 cabs. This might be 15 players, 15 cabs. They don't seem to have much chemistry. So I think they might do themselves in.
Talking with Steve Ashburner, senior writer for NBA.com. Now you go over to the West. Golden State still a half game up on the Denver Nuggets. Is Golden State as powerful? Do they have the ability to just flip that switch when you get to the postseason? I know there's been a little bit of, we'll say, tough feelings with Kevin Durant and all the speculation about him leaving at the end of the season and such. But has that divided them, or are they just kind of right now on cruise control and they're just waiting for the postseason to get here?
I think it's probably closer to the latter that you described. I mean, I think that for a team that's done what they've done 4 years, now going on 5 years in a row, I think that it is, you know, a challenge to find your line, find, you know, for that regular season. Now, how are we going to approach this? We're going to try to win 73 again, or are we going to manage this season and be ready and healthy come playoff time? And I think they've, you know, they've sort of meandered around that line. They haven't always, you know, found it spot on. And to me, the biggest thing that has happened is that other teams, I think, feel a little more emboldened when they face Golden State. There used to be sort of this pessimism and sense of, you know, futility that, well, they're going to, you know, they're going to get what they want. They're going to go right through us. They're going to do it whether it's January or whether it's May. And I think that's gone now by seeing them lose, by seeing the teams that have beaten them. Even when Golden State has sort of wanted to save face on a given night and say, well, we need to bring it tonight, and it hasn't gone their way. And I think that can make that makes a pretty powerful difference until you face them in a playoff series and find yourself down 0-2. You know, then I think it might be hard to muster that level of confidence. Okay, maybe you go home, you pick up a game, you know, but you're going to be playing from underwater from that point on. So we'll see. But if a team can steal, you know, game one, maybe even game two from Golden State, all of a sudden we got something, and it's not out of the realm of possibilities. We could see a new Western finalist.
Hey, real quick, one more before I let you go. Luke Walton out as the Lakers head coach at the end of the season, do you think?
Yeah, that seems to be the conventional wisdom in the rumblings that we hear. It's unfortunate because he's a very, I think, talented already and promising even more so head coach for this league. But, you know, immovable object gets in the way of an unstoppable force of LeBron James coming to your team, and all of a sudden you're not so immovable. It's the pattern that LeBron has had where the coach that he goes in and inherits often doesn't last very long. The only reason Eric Spoelstra did is because Pat Riley had more power in Miami than LeBron did. But the other stops in Cleveland, whether his first time or second time, and apparently now it looks like the coach will yield, and we'll see who it is. I got to think it's got to be somebody like Tyronn Lue, who's got a proven working deference to LeBron, rather than someone like Jason Kidd or Glenn Rivers, names we'd heard recently. Those didn't make sense. I know Rivers has sort of taken himself out of it. But those don't make sense just because those guys have their own sense of self-worth. And you know, Tyronn Lue, he knew how to keep LeBron happy. And that, to me, is your number one job as a head coach. Unlike any of the other 29 stops, that is part of it when you coach that guy. You know, at the level he's at.
Great stuff as always, Steve. We appreciate it. I know we're going to talk more come postseason, okay?
You got it, Bill.
Thanks, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Steve Ashburner, senior writer for NBA.com, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.